Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Guanajuato Silver, also known as G Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GSVR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GSVRF. We are chatting with the CEO, James Anderson. Now, G Silver is focused in Mexico. The company has a production facility that is processing ore from the El Cubo project, as well as some ore from the El Pingüico project. Both of these projects located very close to the city of Guanajuato. Now, James, it's been a while since we had you last on the show. The company's come out with a lot of news on a very consistent basis, providing updates both on the production front as well as exploration that is ongoing at the projects. I want to start with a general update in terms of production. April 26th, we had the Q4 and year-end 2021 results. The company generated about $4.1 million in Q4 revenue from mining operations. Cash costs right around $20 an ounce, all in sustaining costs. Those are up at about $33 an ounce, but that is because of the company's ongoing ramp up. James, take us through production here at G Silver. Give us an update of where the company stands in terms of production this year so far.
Well, Corey, Shad, nice to be with you both. Well, gosh, Corey, with an introduction like that, I don't know if you need much more from me. I think that that just about covers everything. We have done, I think, a very good job about moving the El Cubo mine, silver and gold mine, back into production, right? So last year, we started mining again in August. We had our concentrating plant back up and operating by September. First concentrate sales in October. And as you said, we sold about $4 million worth of silver and gold in the last 2 months of last year. We continue to invest a lot in CapEx, in the mine, and in the projects, and in our expansion. So that's the CapEx spending. I always talk about ramp up. You know, we're ramping up both in terms of tonnage. So we have already ramped up to processing about 30,000 tons a month through our processing plant. So I think that's very good. And what investors will continue to see is a incremental ramp up in grade, which will help a great deal in terms of our profitability going forward.
Well, James, to that point, currently you've also had access to these above ground stockpiles, not just at El Cubo, but also at Pingüico. And you're kind of doing a 2/3, 1/3 split between those and blending those together. But you are going to be accessing some of that higher grade at El Cubo. Maybe walk us through where some of that growth and grade will be coming from in the project.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I think it's an excellent question. So of that 30,000 tons a month that we process, about a third, 10,000 tons a month, comes from our El Pingüico project stockpile. So the stockpile was waste 110 years ago when people were mining there. It's moderate grade. It's got a little over 100 grams of silver equivalent, but you know, it's right on surface. We don't have to mine it. We don't have to blast it. All we have to do is haul it about 8 kilometers and put it through our processing plant. So it has been extraordinarily helpful, that material, to have on hand. So, you know, as we get on our feet and start mining the El Cubo veins, to have that material in the background has been very, very helpful. However, we do intend to kind of wean ourselves off of that material in the months ahead and get more and more higher grade in situ material from El Cubo. So El Cubo, if any of your listeners want to go to the website and have a look at our presentation, what you'll see on a section map that we've got is really two halves of a mine. We've got the Villalpando area to the south and the Santa Cecilia area to the north. And it's Santa Cecilia right now, which is giving us very good grades, and we're going to be ramping up and accessing that area that has really a swarm of veins that they mesh back and forth. It's almost a giant stockwork of veins that we can access. They're mostly very, very good grade, oftentimes in the Santa Cecilia area, higher proportionally in gold than in silver. Usually at El Cubo, the value proposition is about 60%, 40% silver gold. At the Santa Cecilia area, that kind of flips around. So you've got a value proposition that's more gold rich. So that can be quite helpful too. And yeah, we will be driving incrementally better grades from that Santa Cecilia area in the months ahead.
So James, when it comes to costs, both development costs and ongoing production costs, how is the company staying on top of that? Because all the comments we're hearing from producers and even exploration companies is that investors, they are worried about escalating costs.
Yeah. So there is inflation built in to the world markets. And, you know, I think that every company, every mining company certainly has to be very well on top of that. I guess what one of the things that we managed to do during the ramp up phase and putting El Cubo back into production, you know, we were able to kind of get ahead of the game and purchase a lot of spare parts, a lot of production ready material that we could use last year rather than this year. So perhaps we're just a little bit better than some of our competitors in that fashion. Also, the other thing that, you know, where we have a competitive advantage, both Pinguico and El Cubo are connected to the local electrical grid. So although higher energy costs certainly impact our costs, I would suggest that they do so materially less on a percentage basis than some of the other miners out there.
Well, James, maybe just one more takeaway on the operations on some areas that should be interesting to investors. And that is that as you continue to develop this project, you're going to be able to access through an underground situation, not just the areas you're mining now at the 1815 and 2175 and along the Dolores vein, but you're able to actually connect underground over to that Santa Cecilia zone where you've had so much exploration success lately, instead of having to drive on surface. So just maybe explain how that could be transformational to the production profile.
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. We did mention this in a news release a couple of weeks ago. So you've got over this roughly 4 to 4.5 kilometer strike length of this vein system. You've got a north area and a south area. The north area is called Santa Cecilia, the south area called Villalpando. We are mining and processing from both areas. The north area though, right now, we need to have haulage trucks leave that portal and then drive about 6.7 kilometers to the south to have the material processed at our processing facility. It's a little bit odd and unusual, I guess. There is dozens and dozens of kilometers of underground development work here, but for whatever reason, past operators never connected the south and the north. There's only about 125 meter gap that we're developing right now. So within 6 weeks, rather than trucks having to go that 6.7 kilometers, you know, around the outside, they'll be able to haul material from Santa Cecilia to our production plant underground and only go about 2.5 kilometers. So we're going to have an immediate benefit in terms of the amount of fuel that we need, wear on tires, way less road maintenance that we have to do. So there will be an immediate but incremental reduction in costs for that area. And there's a number of other capital expenditures that we're doing along the same lines. And that's why I keep saying ramp up and costs going down incrementally over the months ahead. That's sort of our overarching business plan.
So what's the overall strategy of the drilling then? With three drills on site, and I understand a lot of targets still to either bring resources into or connect some of the areas that you are mining, what sort of news should we be looking for out of the drilling to understand that this plan that all deals with ramping up production is coming together?
So I think the most important part and the most important part for investors to be able to really, you know, understand what Guanajuato does, we have a mantra that we want to leave every year. So December 31st of every year, we want to have more resources in sight to be able to mine into the future. The PEA that Baird Olbert did for us last year would suggest that we've got enough material at El Cubo for a 7-year mine life. You know, we want that to grow and grow continuously. So we do have three drills turning on site right now. Up until a couple of weeks ago, we had two at Cubo and one at Pinguico. Like everybody else in the world, some of the results have been kind of slow in coming back to us. We've decided that we're getting a better bang for our buck at El Cubo right now, where most of the mining is taking place. So we've got three drills turning at El Cubo right now. The results that we put out a couple of weeks ago I mean, I think the grade that's associated with the veins is very, very good. They are narrow, and there's been, you know, there were some comments about that. We can mine, though, down to a 0.8 meter mining width. So our miners are 100% Mexican personnel in Guanajuato. They are very good underground miners and very good narrow vein miners. So we don't have an issue taking high-grade narrow vein material to the processing plant. That's what we do.
Well, I think that's a really key point to highlight, James, because previously when Endeavor Silver was working this project, I believe they were mining much wider areas. So they had a little bit more waste rock mixed in. But even recently, you've put out some just, I think, very high-grade drill hits, but they are more narrow width. So the pushback from the marketplace is, yeah, but look how narrow those are. But they're kind of thinking it in the context of the way it was being mined previously. So to your point, you can get into these narrow veins. Maybe just highlight a couple of the holes that got your attention recently.
Well, there's one interval that's about 3 kilos of silver equivalent, right? Yeah, even if you have to take a little bit of extra dilution, it's still very good. And then from the Santa Cecilia area, again, gold rich. We do continue just to talk about silver equivalent values, which I think is helpful for the marketplace. In the Santa Cecilia area, though, more gold rich, so you know a little bit more weighted towards the gold numbers. But from a silver equivalent standpoint, several 600 gram per ton intervals. So those are very, very helpful. And we are in the midst of being able to track additional vein systems that we can mine, that we can drift towards and mine in the months ahead. So unlike a lot of, I guess this is the major point that I'd like the investors to understand, unlike other strictly exploration projects that might be 150 kilometers away from a town or 300 kilometers away from a processing facility, the material that we're encountering in these drill holes, you know, I can say soberly that the majority of the material that we're reporting on and encountering can make its way into our processing plant like within the next 36 months. I mean, we will develop this into continuing mine plans as we expand the operation.
So, James, what's the cash position that the company is sitting on here as you continue to do this exploring and also continue the ramp up? What's the cash going to be needed for the company as well?
Yeah, so we've got about $7 million U.S. dollars in the treasury currently. People will have seen additional news there a couple of weeks ago where we drawed money down from our European lenders. What we did do as well is we paid back in total about 3/4 of the money that we borrowed last July and extended the grace period by 6 months for any new repayments that we have to make. So we're really in a very comfortable position here right now. No repayments on those facilities for 6 months and about $7 million U.S. dollars in cash. To a large degree, the cash flow that we're enjoying right now can pay for a lot of the extra capex that we're spending, but we will be using some of that cash for capex as we go into the future as well.
Well, James, maybe just one more thing we should touch on a little deeper. We've mentioned Pinguico as a contributing factor right now as far as the stockpiles, and you do have some exploration that you were doing there, but you do have that Veta Madre vein system that looks very promising. So for people that have only been following the El Cubo part of the story, Pinguico's right nearby. What other exploration work do you maybe look forward to in the year to come?
Well, the Veta Madre target is something that we've talked about probably for 18 months or so. We've looked at different ways to drill that target, you know, for a number of months. Obviously, we've been busy putting El Cubo, the mine, back into production. So perhaps we've been less focused on that, but we will be drilling towards Veta Madre soon. I don't have an exact date, but in the weeks ahead. And for people who are new to the story, let me just briefly outline what Veta Madre is. Veta Madre means mother vein. It is a regional fault structure that has been intruded with an extraordinarily powerful silver and gold bearing epithermal system. There's been well over 1 billion ounces of silver taken out of that structure over the last 450 years. Some of the world's great silver mines are about 10 kilometers to the north of us. Reyes and Valenciana were famous a couple of hundred years ago. Valenciana in particular, for 20 or 30 years, was producing about 40% of the entire world's silver production. So it's an extraordinarily rich area and target. What we know about Veta Madre at Pinguico is that Veta Madre was active, its gold and silver bearing, and Fresnillo mined on the Veta Madre target immediately east of us for 30 years. So we know it's active. That structure dips at about 40 to 45 degrees towards the Pinguico property, and it will likely intersect with our El Pinguico high grade but narrow structure. So where those two structures intersect each other at depth, there is likely going to be a deformation zone in the Earth's crust. There's likely going to be a situation that has afforded nature to be able to have more gold and silver bearing fluid flow in that area. And it's entirely possible, I think. I mean, it is a speculative target for sure, but it is a great drilling target. And, you know, we have every opportunity to have some real bonanza grades over extraordinary drill intervals. So that's something that the market can look forward to in the weeks ahead, is our taking a shot on that extraordinary target.
All right, James, thank you for this update. Man, there's a lot going on with G Silver at both of these projects. We'll keep following along as more news and more updates come out on both the production and exploration front. Please keep us up to date on all that news, James, and especially when you get some more of these drill results back, as well as some more financial results from the initial quarters of just this year. James, thank you, as always, for your time, man. We'll chat again soon. Keep us up to date on news, please.
Thank you, gentlemen.